Good morning. Thank you again for letting me be here, Todd. It's a nice invitation to let me come and speak at your church. I want to bring greetings to Snow Hill from my church and from my family, some of which is here. It's great to see Todd and Patty and the Littleton family. In a minute, I'm going to show you a picture of my family and just to introduce ourselves, but mainly I want to say it's really nice and appreciated that this church has, through the years, been supportive of my opportunities to do church planting and supportive of that in many different ways, not only with your prayers and your concern and care and encouragement, but also financially you've helped us as well through the years. So it's really nice to be back again and to say hello. And Todd mentioned that I left the state in 1985, and I've come back to visit, but I haven't ever lived here again since that time. And so anytime I can get back into my home state, this is where I'm from originally. I was born and raised in Oklahoma City. It's nice to be back again. So good morning. And I'd like to pray, and then let's get started in the scripture. Thank you, God, that you let us be able to be reminded that you have something to say to us in your word. And the stories that have been preached about Jesus' hospitality and Jesus' care for people of all kinds. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from your word, and so you teach us, Holy Spirit, from these passages. And it's also my prayer that you would use these scriptures to transform our lives. If for the first time, may it be so in someone's life today. And if it's something that's an ongoing process in all of our lives, Holy Spirit, we want to listen and give you permission to speak into our lives. I pray, Lord, that that the power of your word today would be strong and that you would speak to each of us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Todd's already alluded to that passage. It's a look at the meal passages of Luke and to explore the heart of Jesus as he's reaching into out to people in various different ways through the use of hospitality. While you're looking that up in Luke chapter 19, I want to just take a minute and show you the picture of my family. So it's kind of not the best picture in the world because there's a shadow and things like that. But this was recent. The reason I even picked this picture, I have some better ones that are kind of more photogenic and that kind of thing. But this one has my whole family except for one, my son who's in the Marines. Jose is not there, but everybody else is there. And this was a few months ago in December when my daughter graduated from the OU Medical School. She's a physician assistant now, even now working in Oklahoma City. And the rest of that, the reason that I like this picture is there's all four of my grandchildren there. So if Todd and I were 18 years old when we first met, and at the first day that we moved into the dorms at OBU, and that was me being single and Todd being single, and other than just a few people in this room, like Patty and his mom and things like that, there's only me that knows Todd that long. I knew Todd when he was single. And so I'm hoping that somebody will offer me a free home-cooked meal so I can share with you some secrets about Todd from when he was that age. All right, so good. But if you look at his family and you look at my family now, our lives have grown and by the blessing of God. And so you all get to enjoy his family and the Lord has let me have an opportunity to enjoy mine. So thank you all I give you that picture just so you can see a little context. When I preach, sometimes it's helpful to know. Let me give you some background about what we're going to be looking at today. So Todd asked me to come and speak to you on this passage about how Jesus is connecting with people and how that there's people that have a relationship outside of God that sometimes can be used by hospitality, and whether that's us reaching out to someone or God working in our lives to make us aware of that. Either way, I think that's some of the things that we're trying to look at in Scripture. This passage is one of those, the passage of Zacchaeus. When I was a little boy, I went to church. I grew up in a Christian family. We went to church, a Baptist church, Village Baptist Church, and then later Nichols Hills in Oklahoma City. And we always, Zacchaeus is one of those stories that you learn about and see pictures. And, you know, back then we had flannel boards and all kinds of stuff. Do they still have flannel boards in the children's stuff? I don't think so. Anyway, they had a song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, you know, that kind of thing. I still remembered it when I started thinking about this. But Luke is one of the author in the Bible that highlights how God, Jesus especially, loves the unlovable people. It's a theme throughout his book. And the story of Zacchaeus is unique only to this gospel. Like a lot of stories in the Bible, they are in other chapters of the other books of the Bible, other gospels or something like that. Luke is the only one that tells a story, which is, I think, a significant issue because Luke, it reflects the heart that Luke has and how he was touched by Jesus as even himself being Gentile. Another part of the background is that in the chapter just before, there's some significant things that happen that help us to understand how significant this is in the life of Jesus. He taught just the chapter before. He encountered this rich young ruler, and he told about how miraculous it would be, if not impossible it would be, if someone who was rich and was able to enter into the kingdom of God. The camel through the eye of the needle passage and that kind of thing. And then also you'll see that just before he enters into Jericho, which is where this story starts, he heals a blind man named Bartimaeus. And it was a miraculous event. It was on the way into town. Jesus stopped. He helped this man. He healed this man. And the news about that was spreading everywhere. And Jesus was famous, well known. Coming into Jericho, he was coming into a crowd of people who wanted to see and hear what he had to say. And so then we come to the story in Luke chapter 19. And the first verse says, he, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. Jesus is on a mission. In this passage, one of the things you need to know, we sometimes read the story and forget that this is part of a bigger story. And the bigger story is that Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem to fulfill the reason that God sent him to the planet to begin with. When Jesus came as a baby, like I see in your baptistry art, Jesus came as a baby. Why? So that he could be the Savior to our world and God can have a relationship with us, and it gives us an opportunity to experience God in the new covenant way. And along the way, Jesus is traveling, and he goes through Jericho, and he's on his way to Jerusalem to do what God wanted him to do to begin with. But it wasn't just to go to Jerusalem. It's all the people whose lives he touched along the way as well. And one of the things that's important to understand about that is part of his mission. There was this huge crowd that was waiting for him when he entered into Jericho. And when he entered into Jericho, there were people that wanted to see him, and he was famous, and there was miracles, and there was a big group of people wanted to see him. And here was this man, Zacchaeus, which the scriptures tell us wanted to see him as well. Another point that I'll mention, number two, is that Zacchaeus was an outcast and an outsider, and he was viewed as unclean. Now, maybe we don't get this very much because we aren't part of Jewish culture. The Jewish people, when Jesus was born and when Jesus lived, were under the rule or the domination of another people. A foreign government had come into their land, taken over their country, took over their government, taxed them mercilessly, took all their money, and treated them poorly. And it's prophetic and a lot of things having to do with God's plan in the big picture, but still, there was this reality. There's another government that's ruling our country. Imagine in this world that we live in today, If another country, our enemy, came and took over America, and that government then dominated your lives and taxed you mercilessly and took your money and took your land. And by the way, there's still places that happens. That's why I do things what I do in Burma, for example, in Myanmar. But there was this man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now, that's in the light of the fact that Jesus had just said only a few verses before. Just look at the previous chapter. That it'd be really difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But the chief tax collector, I think, is the main point I want to point out here. He was the chief tax collector. So there's guys that were Jewish, like Zacchaeus, who paid for, maybe bribed, their way into a position. And that position gave them the right to go to all the other people and demand of them money. Unreasonable amounts of money and as much as he wanted. He could say whatever he wanted. He could make up reasons. I'm going to tax you for how many wheels your wagon has. How many donkeys you have today going down the street. Whatever the reason that he wanted to take money, he could take money. And he took enough. Then he gave it to this government, which everybody didn't like to begin with, and he kept all the rest and he got filthy rich. But he wasn't just the tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. And so by the time that Jesus was here in Jericho talking to this man, he had risen to a place of extreme wealth, extreme power, because of his position, and everyone hated him. And even so much that among all the Jewish rulers, leaders, and the rabbis, they had passed laws maybe the extreme word, rules or policies, that tax collectors were to be considered unclean. They were not allowed to come to the synagogue. So they were, we're talking about a man that we don't understand how significant it was that he was a tax collector, but to that culture, it was likened unto him being so unclean, he couldn't come to the synagogue, everyone hated him, and no one wanted to be around him. And certainly, nobody would like it if Jesus hung out with him. And so, there was this man, Zacchaeus. They were rich, he was rich at the expense of others, and he was hated. And this is the sixth time, not just the first, that Luke points out that Jesus encountered tax collectors and loved them. I think it's going to be significant to think about this in a minute. Because we have tax collectors in this country, but it's not the same. But we have people that are unlovable or seem unlovable to most of us. And I think we forget sometimes that Jesus died on the cross for them too. And they live among us. It's not the same issue as being a tax collector. And it's not the same kind of issue about they're rich because they steal from us. Might be a different title. But the main thing to understand is that Jesus had a heart for all the people. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son. We think that means all the nations, and it does. We think that means all the ethnicities, and it does. We think that means the rich and the poor, and it does. But sometimes I think we forget that it might mean the person that lives in our town that we don't like and is unlovable, and if they came into the church, we'd kind of like raise our eyebrows and wonder about it. That's the kind of guy Zacchaeus was, to the extreme. For everybody who's watching Jesus walk into Jericho that day. The third thing is that Zacchaeus was motivated to encounter Jesus. So it says Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Now we know from the song that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And I don't know exactly what wee little man means. I've been to Israel, and I'm taller than most people there, or at least was at that time. And so I don't know how wee little man means, but let's say he's less than 5 feet tall. You know, so like in my head, I'm thinking of someone like Danny DeVito or something like a really small, short guy who's not that likable, but who tries to be, you know, and acts like it. It doesn't matter what your image of him is. He was a small man. He climbed up in a tree and he wanted to see Jesus. Now, I think that's significant because Jesus came into Jericho and there was a crowd of people. Hundreds, thousands, we don't know for sure, but enough that there were so many people that a short guy had to climb into a tree to see Jesus walk down the street. That's a lot of people. And so when we're in the middle of thinking about what that means, what it means is this man was motivated enough, I want to see who Jesus is. He's a guy that's hated. Even the people around him probably don't like him to be there. Get out of here, kind of elbowing him in the crowd. And he climbs up in a tree to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. And I'm going to say to you this. The Holy Spirit is amazing in drawing people to himself. And some of the very people that we think are unlovable are people that the Holy Spirit is drawing to himself. The Holy Spirit is working in their lives and they have an interest, a need, a draw to understand who Jesus is. We know that Jesus died on the cross. He was resurrected. He was raised from the dead. He lived on earth for a few more days and then he ascended back to heaven. By faith, we know that is true. That means that the earthly Jesus, the one that Zacchaeus encountered and saw, is no longer on the planet for people to see. The new Zacchaeuses of the world are not able to see the flesh and bone Jesus Christ. But they can. Because this church comes to worship as the body of Christ. We sing and we celebrate and we read scriptures and we repent and we get ready and we get fired up and we get charged up. And then we leave this building and we're still the church the rest of the week. We're not just the church when we gather. We're the church the whole rest of the week. And by that very fact, it means that the only Jesus that a lot of people are ever going to see, because the Zacchaeuses of the world are not usually walking into our churches on Sunday morning. The only Jesus that the new Zacchaeuses are going to see are the body of Christ that's you as you encounter them throughout the week. Just like Jesus, he saw a man that was, he knew in his spirit was, he knew he wanted to see him. Apparently he's up in a tree. And so he was motivated to see him. Number four. Sorry, I got to get a drink real quick. The fourth point is that Jesus initiated a relationship with Zacchaeus based on a culture of hospitality. Everywhere that Jesus was going along his journeys in his ministry. By the way, we know this because he's constantly being criticized. He's always eating with tax collectors and sinners. He was often criticized for that. He goes into the house of people that are ladies that probably would not be, you're not supposed to go to their house. And talk to people along the side of the road that you're not supposed to talk to those ladies. And they then go back to their town and bring back people to talk to Jesus. And a lot of people encounter Jesus. All the time Jesus goes into people's house, has meals. It was a big part of his ministry. He did it all the time with the 12 guys that he hung out with the most. We know story after story, and some of which you've had preached to you. This is the way Jesus did life. But it was part of the culture. I go to people's houses all over the world. I just got back from a trip where I was in India. And when I was in India, the pastor said, I want you to go visit all the people in my church. Okay, I will. So we went house to house to house to house. Like, took 3 days, and we went to all the different houses. Every house I went to, guess what happened? I got chai, which is Indian tea. I got some kind of food, which is usually included rice and curry. And then they wanted to keep giving me more and more. And then I would finish there and go to the next house, and they would do the same. They had a culture of hospitality. By the time of the end of the day, I was like, if I went to one more house, I would have not been able to, I would have popped. But the point is this, culture, the culture of hospitality is not just unique in the days of Jesus or not just unique in India today, it was part of the culture of Jesus' time. And the way that you got to know people and connected to people and really got into their lives and really got to know what their needs were and what their life was about and who they were was to connect through culture, the culture of hospitality. And so Jesus came to the place and he looked up to Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house. And so Zacchaeus hurried down and he came down and received him gladly. Now, one of the coolest parts about that is that Jesus invited himself to that house. It wasn't that Zacchaeus invited him. Maybe Zacchaeus would have invited him, maybe not, but just the fact, one of the unspoken things about this verse that we don't know is how did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? Did he know him from before? Like, Jesus had already encountered many tax collectors. He had, as I told you, even called one to be his disciple. Maybe he knew them from that kind of connection. Maybe he recognized him because he was short. I could see, oh, I've seen that guy before. He's the chief tax collector. Maybe he was famous enough that he knew. But however he knew it, he saw Zacchaeus in the tree, said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. And Zacchaeus came down and said, okay, I'm ready to go. Now, when Jesus invites him to the house, the whole rest of the passage doesn't talk too much about a meal, like where they sit down. And I love the prop. It's awesome. But they probably were sitting on the floor, likely, and didn't have the cool china and the tablecloth. But the point is made that the meal was an important thing. And whether or not the meal was finished by the time this passage takes place and what happens in Zacchaeus' life is not important. Because the significance of this passage is that Jesus took such an interest in Zacchaeus. It's not that he ate a meal, and it's not that he went to his house. It's that he cared about a man that was unlovable. He cared about this man a lot. Number five. When people encounter Jesus, other people often are not happy about it. When the people saw it, verse 7, when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Here's the guy they hate more than maybe anybody else in the whole town, the whole city of Jericho. They hate this guy the worst. And Jesus picks him out and says, I'm going to your house. So they're not happy about it. They grumble because they were not happy that Jesus would associate with someone who was unclean. This guy can't even go to our synagogue, and Jesus is going to his house. This guy can't even... Why is he like this guy? Out of all the people, what's wrong? Maybe why not me? Like, the implied thing a little bit is the pride of saying, I'm better than that guy. Why would Jesus go be with that guy out of all the people? I don't want to, I can tell story after story of this, and I want to honor the time that we're here, so I'm not going to. But one of the things that I began to think about when I was thinking of preaching on this passage is that I've spent my life pastoring churches, and there's times where people come into the church that the church people don't like to be there. Why is that guy here? Or why are those kids from the bad neighborhood here? Or why is that person that we all know is a bad person, why are they here? And I began, and it's also true when you go overseas, depending on what's going on in people's lives and culture, we don't like those people. Who are those people? We don't like those people. Why are they here? We don't want to worship with them. And I began to realize that human beings, we tend to think like that, not just in the days of Jesus and not just those people that were in Jericho those days, all of us sometimes feel like this. Other people are encountering Jesus and Jesus is doing a miraculous thing in their life, and sometimes we're not happy about it. Why is Jesus doing that in their life? They don't deserve that. And guess what? They don't. And neither did you when he did something in your life. In Jewish law, I want to show you something that was so important about the sixth point. That encountering Jesus, Zacchaeus' heart was transformed. The scripture says in verse 8 that Zacchaeus stopped and he said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor." By the way, just think, I'm making up numbers just for even number. Let's say he had $1 million. I don't know if that made him rich or not. But let's say he had $1 million just so we can think. Half of his million he's given to the poor. Half a million. And then he says, if I have defrauded anyone of anything, which sounds like he defrauded everybody, every person, I will give back four times as much. It may be that by the end of this week, he doesn't have any money at all. Or he just has a little bit. In Jewish law, it was required that someone who was defrauded should pay back a 40% penalty. So if he stole $100, he paid back $140. This guy's talking about paying back $400. It's a big difference. Right? And so Zacchaeus was volunteering to pay that back, and he was going to give half to the poor. If all that was true, it would be a miraculous transformation. And I am saying to you that one of the things that I think that we forget sometimes is that genuine salvation results in a transformed life. I deal with a culture in Burma that the missionaries came to in 1813. And a lot of people in that culture came to know Christ, and they call themselves a Christian culture now. Not everybody's Christian by salvation, but Christian, maybe not a Buddhist village, a Christian village. So if you ask them, it's a language thing, sometimes you say, when did you become a Christian? I was born a Christian. We are offended by that because we think, no, that you don't get born a Christian. We know that theologically. But what they mean is, I was not born in a Buddhist village. I was not born in a Buddhist family. And my grandmother and grandfather were a Christian. We have the same thing in the United States, by the way. There's a lot of people that live in a Christian culture. They were born in a Christian culture. I'll say I was born in a Christian family. But we understand that at some point, being a Christian, being a believer, a follower of Jesus, is not just what church you go to or what family you were born into. It's the fact that Jesus Christ, you meet him and he transforms your life. And transformation is a miracle, a big miracle in the lives of any of us. And I think that sometimes we forget that, and I want you to remember back when you think of Zacchaeus, think about it in the future. Zacchaeus could give a great testimony someday. He could say, when I met Jesus, I was hated. Everybody, I couldn't even go to the synagogue. I was so unclean. And when I met Jesus, he transformed my life. He changed my heart. I repented. I gave back what I had stolen. And now I'm following Jesus. It's a miraculous story. And you go, praise God, Zacchaeus got saved. But at the moment that he's encountering Jesus, we forget how big of a miracle that was in his life. And that means we forget what a miracle it was in ours. You were lost and now you're found. I want you to remember that whether you were raised in a Christian family and came to know Christ as a child, or whether you had some miraculous transformation as an adult. Either way, it's a miracle of God. You were lost, now you're found. You were blind, now you see. You were sick, and now you're healed. You were dirty, now you are clean. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and now you're alive in Christ. You were born one time from your mom, and you're born again into the Spirit of God. All of those things, no matter how you look at it, are miracles. lest we ever forget that we walk into this church building only by the grace of God and the miracle that makes it true that we have transformed lives. And when we worship, which, by the way, you have some good music and worship happening, prayers, everything. When we do that as transformed people. And we, at one time, every one of us, were Zacchaeus. Everyone. Genuine salvation results in a transformed life. And number seven, the last point that this passage brings out, is that Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That's what Jesus said. So we don't ever get to the part about what he had for dinner. We don't even know if Jesus spent the night, although it was implied. We're going to stay at your house. We don't know anything about the hospitality that was offered or whether Zacchaeus' transformation happened before or after they ate. Doesn't matter. But Jesus proclaims Zacchaeus, salvation came to this house today. The Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and save that was lost. Let me just make a few points about that. It was only a few chapters before that in Luke chapter 15, Jesus told a story about three things that were lost. A lost coin. They went out and looked and found. Guess what he said? They had a great party. And likewise, in heaven, the angels celebrate for everyone who understands the kingdom of God. And then he tells about a sheep, 99 sheep, the shepherd found or had, knew where they were. One was lost. He went out and found the one, came home, brought it on his shoulders, had a big party with all his people. Likewise, in heaven, the angels celebrate when one person comes to know Christ. Then it tells a story about a lost son. And the dad is looking out, waiting for the son to come back. And finally, when he does, has a great party. Even in that story, someone doesn't like it when the father waits for the son to come home. Jesus told those stories, and this is an illustration of it. Sometimes I think we think he's seeking life. It's not like he's a policeman looking for a lost criminal, like a criminal on the lam. That's an old word, by the way. A criminal running from the law. So it's not like, oh, Zacchaeus, I see you. I found you. You come down. I'm going to take you to the police station today. It's not like he's seeking him to arrest him because he's a bad guy. It's because he's seeking him because he loves him. And he wants his life to be totally transformed. And that's the Jesus that we know. And that's the Jesus that the Bible tells us about over and over and over again. Jesus was looking to save those who were lost. So the good news is this. The good news is that Jesus is still doing this today. He's doing it now. He's doing it in your community, I hope. He's doing it in your church, I hope. And he's using us, this church, as the only people that Jesus are going to, the only Jesus that people will encounter. So, a lot of times, when I was a little boy, my parents or someone in my Sunday school, I don't remember who, told me this deal. This is the church, this is the steeple, open the door and see all the people. It's really not very accurate. Because this is a building. And whether or not we have a building with a steeple on it like you do over there, or a gymnasium, doesn't matter, it's just a building. This is a building, you might have a steeple, open the door, the church is God's people. But it's not just the church when they're in the building. It's also the church when they leave and they go and they live their lives with their neighbors, their families, their work, the places that they work, the people that you encounter every day, the people you live next door to, and all that kind of stuff. You are the new Jesus that goes into the community and calls Zacchaeus out of the tree. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go to your house today. Or Zacchaeus, come down. Come to my house today. Or Zacchaeus, come down. I want to introduce you to the man who will change your life. That's the good news about this story. It's still true. We're going to have a response that Todd's going to sort of direct and lead. But if you're lost, if you're the Zacchaeus up in the tree, motivated to see Jesus and you want to encounter him today, Todd can help you with that, or someone else who can pray with you. Or perhaps you're hearing this and you're thinking, you know, I've been one of those people that grumbled when someone was experiencing God in a transformative way. Or I need to be the new Jesus in my culture to reach out to those who are like Zacchaeus. Let's pray.